For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Consequence Podcast Network.
As we get closer and closer to Bonnaroo 2022, what are some of the can't-miss shows of this year's festival? This week on the What Podcast, we go through Barry and Taco's picks. Who will they see? Where will they go? What will they eventually skip to sit at camp? We go through it all today. Barry and Taco's picks on the What Podcast. Which bands this year that matter? It starts right now. You're always trying to do your best. Don't worry about what happens next. 'Cause it never ends if we just begun. We crash into the setting sun. So welcome to the What Podcast, just days away from glory. Glory, glory, hallelujah. I can't believe it's actually happening. Can you believe it's actually happening, Barry? It still feels as though the rug's going to get pulled out from under you, doesn't
it? Right? Isn't that terrible to feel that way? It's happening. I'm already starting to get, I told you last time, starting to get the night sweats. Starting to worry about camping. I do it every year.
What do you do the night sweats for?
I told you. I just start thinking about all that walking, that camping. You know, I don't camp like Taco every week. This is a new thing for me.
Yeah, Taco, you literally do this every week. This has become You went to Bonnaroo once and then bought a bus and then you've been camping ever since.
Well, it's backwards because I bought the bus first, but I'm ready. I'm already here in Manchester. Where are you guys?
See, he's prepared.
You would. By the way, yeah. I do feel as though, like, you know, we know Barry's going to just stay in the basement for the end of time. I don't know where I'm going to eventually end up, probably New Orleans. But we all, I think, can all assume that Lord Taco's final resting place will be at the Manchester Walmart parking lot. There is no place on this planet where you feel more like yourself, is there?
No, that's correct. Yeah, I can't wait. That's what I'm most excited about.
As long as he's in the bus.
The man literally could live in the Walmart parking lot in Manchester for the rest of time and be totally okay.
Sure.
With it.
Yeah. I may never leave.
I love that. The rain doesn't bother him. The heat doesn't bother him. The crowd, none of it bothers him. The porta potty.
So prepared.
Yeah, he's used to it.
One of our former campmates at Camp Nut Butter, his name is Joe, he came up with this really clever thing that Thursday, you know, my thing is always don't go hard on Thursday because you have to set yourself up for a marathon here, and you really don't want to wake up Friday not feeling your absolute 100% best. He always said about Friday was everybody's best t-shirt day. Friday, everybody brings out their absolute best t-shirt. So in honor of Best T-Shirt Friday, I thought that I would show you guys what would have been my Friday t-shirt if I were to have gone to Bonnaroo this year. But I will bring it out next year when I come back. But here you go. Here's my big reveal of my Friday Best T-Shirt submission. All right, you ready? This is a visual, by the way, so if you're listening to it, I apologize, but if you're watching on YouTube, get ready for Amanda Strip. Here we go. All right. See if you can tell what it is.
I'm guessing Mr. T. Nope, not Mike Tyson. That's nice.
Is it Dolly?
Mike Tyson. That is Dolly Parton.
Dolly, yes.
I had my Dolly Parton t-shirt ready to go for Friday.
Nice. Taco's got his what podcast t-shirt? Is that a Thursday?
That was definitely going to be his Friday.
Is that a Friday?
That's definitely a Friday. Definitely a Friday.
This, you think this is my best t-shirt?
Yes. I've seen what you wear. Yeah, it's the best t-shirt you got. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Yeah, you're probably right. All right, this will be my Friday.
I mean, the rest of your wardrobe is just PBR merchandise.
It's true.
That's true. So now I'm going to have to rethink my Friday t-shirt. So nice.
Unless well, your Friday wait, we t-shirt has...
We go in twinsies.
Wait a second. Your Friday That's t-shirt fine. Has always been the same. It's that tie-dye thing that you wear. You true. Always go tie-dye on Friday, which I always feel as though the wrong move. You should go tie-dye Sunday. Sunday is that tie-dye day.
You know what? I used to be really proud of that, and then I think I saw a reflection in a window or something, and I looked like just that old fat guy in a tie-dye that sells comic books.
You look like you work at a magic store.
I work at a magic store. It's not quite the hip, cool look that I thought it was. Yeah, I saw the Grateful Dead before they were the Grateful Dead. They were still living. You know, I mean, I'm that guy. They were still the Grateful Alive.
You guys don't know anything I know. Look at these kids. Losers.
What I look like.
Yeah.
So I haven't worn it since, pretty much.
Like, I don't know,
didn't
man.
Didn't go at all like I thought.
I've seen, you've popped over at my house to do some, you know, housework in that shirt before.
Yeah, that's because I'm, you know, crawling under a basement doing plumbing work or whatever it is you have me doing.
So I wonder what your best t-shirt is.
I don't know. I'm going to have to figure it out.
Yeah. So I also, my other good t-shirt is my throwback Hill Street Blues crew t-shirt that they gave. Yeah, that's always a big contender.
I've seen it. Yeah.
But on Saturdays, I have to wear the same shirt because there's a campmate, Mike Dewar, with us, who is a fellow Mets fan. And so every year we have to wear our Mets gear on Saturday. It's just a rule. So Friday, best shirt. Saturday, Mets shirt. And then Sunday, it's just trying to survive the heat.
Nice. I do have a Beatles shirt that I'm fond of that actually was found on the grounds of Bonnaroo. Our campmate, Denson, found it and gave it to me.
Wait, yeah. You found a shirt on the ground at Bonnaroo and you
find
wear
something
it?
And
you
wear it? Every year. Oh, it's been
cleaned.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't put it on my body.
Yeah, it's been cleaned several
times. Oh, come on, Barry.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't tell you exactly where he found it. What if he found it in the porta potty? He wrung it out and handed it to you.
Every year.
Yeah.
Okay, but
somebody was already wearing it when you found it. He just took it off somebody. Yeah.
Took it off of somebody.
I found this.
Yeah. Give me that.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't. Just because you find something at Bonnaroo doesn't mean you should incorporate it into your life. I mean, I've always said, like, there's. I always, like, in those early days, it was such a free for all. I swear to God, there was my first year, there was a car on fire. And people were just like, man. Yeah, that's fine. I was convinced after that first year that somebody was going to run at me and throw me a baby. And I would have just been stuck with this Bonnaroo baby walking around. And I guess this is mine now, because that's how absolute batshit crazy Bonnaroo was those first few years. And, you know, I don't know if it's still like this, but that What do they call that row where you walk, where you're walking in, where everybody's selling stuff to you?
Shakedown Street.
Shakedown Street. Yeah. I don't know if it's as bad as it is the first year, but my God, I mean, you'd have a guy selling a dryer door out there, you know, shoestrings here, the dollar. I mean, and they were never part of the festival. They were just, you know, hangers on from Manchester. And it was like, I mean, I know what the Bonnaroo code is now, but in year two, it did not feel that safe. I'll be totally honest with you.
Yeah,
it felt like walking to the train stop here in New York at about 3-4 o'clock in the morning. It was not sort of where I wanted to be.
I guess it was the third or fourth year I went. The big rumor was that people were gonna be dosing you. They were gonna spray, you know.
That's
with
right.
The spray
bottle. That's right. I did hear that. Yeah.
You were gonna get dosed. That was a big thing. And then I do know one year we went. Me and the photographer went out into GA, and they had the big yarn art display, whatever, where people could rearrange it, and this was like 2 in the afternoon, and a couple of people came up and offered us PCP, and we were like, no, we're working. And the disappointment on this kid's face was unbelievable. It wasn't that we weren't going to take it. He was like, man, that would suck if my job prevented me from doing this drug.
Yeah.
And we were like, have a good time. See ya.
I don't want PCP. I want PBR.
Yeah. But I'll just never forget his face. He was like, that would be awful.
Well, I mean, I've told this story on the podcast before, but you know, that car that I saw on fire was the night that broke me, and I said I'm never coming back to Bonnaroo. It was right before this tremendous thunderstorm that just took over the entire festival, and it was the night before it, and I had gotten lost on the way back. And before, they didn't have flags. They didn't have like organization to get you back home. You had to go in a direction and cross your fingers that you were going in the right way. And there weren't lights. You know, the only light that you got was from somebody's car, or, you know, somebody brought a camp light. There was no organization. It was a free for all.
Yeah, so I hope that you crawled into the right blue tent.
That's right. Yeah. That and so you took the wrong turn, and because there was no organization, you could be walking for hours until you realize that you're going in the wrong direction. And so we took a wrong turn really early on in getting back to camp, and I started looking around. I'm like, something just doesn't feel right. There was a car on fire on the right, a double-decker bus thing on the left with a guy peeing off the top of it onto, I think, someone's tent. The car on fire was to my right, and then a completely naked girl comes running up to me, grabs me by the neck, and slinkies down my body screaming, PCP! Crashes down at my foot, and I literally have to kick her off of me. And at that moment, me and my buddy dude, we looked at each other like, we got to get the hell out of here. We got to get the hell out of here. It was, and then the rain came the next night, and we were like, we felt trapped. I've just never felt so hopeless in my life. And, you know, the rain stuck us into mud. Like, we could not get out. That's, we had to pay a kid like $20, $40. I can't remember how much we paid this kid, but it was a lot to pull us out of the mud. I mean, it was a total free for all. And, you know, it's kind of refreshing to think about it that way and see how far it's come. And, you know, and the fact that they have running water now, we talk about it all the time, and I know it's nerding out, but man, guys, like, they did not have just the basic amenities when we walked in there in 2003. They had none of this stuff.
Makes you nostalgic for it, doesn't it?
I mean, no, it doesn't at all. No, it doesn't. There's nothing about that that I miss.
A lot of people.
Yeah, I wonder where that girl is now.
You're running a company somewhere.
Yeah. I'm sure Brian Stone's dated her. the other thing too is those first years, like, you had to carry around with you buckets of bug spray. The amount of mosquitoes and bugs was just astronomical. And what do you see now?
Yeah, they fixed
not
that problem.
Not a single bug. If you've never been to Bonnaroo, or if you haven't thought about this before, just take in your surroundings. You are in the middle of a field, and you don't see a bug. You don't hear a cricket. Nope. I mean, one year we saw a raccoon, and that's because we're in the woods behind the main stage. There's a reason for that.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't just magically find the one field in America that is totally bug-free. No, they spray this thing down so heavy-duty so that they don't have any sort of bug problems anymore, because those first few years, I was eaten alive. I think I had fire ants in my tent. I had spiders everywhere. There were, you know, roaches and oh God, mosquito bites covering me from head to toe.
I never got all that. I've seen like two bugs and that one skunk. And that poor guy woke up in the morning all by himself, and then all of a sudden 80,000 people were knocking on his door. So, but yeah, no, you and I have commented many, many times, whatever they do with the bugs, they got it figured out.
Yeah, I mean, there was a time where, like, when we first started camping with the first part, the first half of the group before Barry got there with Denson and Dewar, I mean, I was legitimately scared of snakes where we were camping because, I mean, our buddy Denson literally found one day while he was setting up his camp. He's found a snake, and I'm like, this just doesn't happen anymore. And if you got, so there's a couple of things that I have just deathly fears of, and one of them, I can't even say it out loud, it panics me so much, but when that bug gets on you and you find it and it burrows its stupid head into your body to kill you and give you diseases, those things don't even exist anymore. So, you know, I think I found one of those in 16 years.
You talking about ticks or chiggers?
Ah, God, don't say the word.
Yeah, that was a big deal. I forgot about that. They had a whole, like, tent set up to help get those things out of people. That's right. I forgot. That was a big, big deal for the first several years.
Yeah.
Those little red chiggers.
Oh, God. Oh, okay. At least you said that. yeah, there you go. Waxing poetic for days gone by. Taco, yeah, you miss all this, huh?
I know. I wish we could go back.
Do you? You really
That's
wish
camping,
you did?
That's camping, man. That's camping, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yeah, and then, like, all of these things happen, and then, you know, this idiot brings, like, carpet and vacuum cleaners and, you know, couches and tents, and people wonder, like, why would you ever do this? Why would you ever?
Right, right.
Like, there's a reason. It was hideous. It was unlivable for a while. And I wanted to keep coming back. So we had to figure out a way to make this so much more fun. And now, you know, they sort of did it for you. You don't really have to put forth that much effort anymore.
Absolutely.
See, look, I can be positive about Bonnaroo. I'm not always Debbie Downer.
Yeah, you know, you got a little, you got taken to task for our last episode, but you didn't say anything that wasn't necessarily true.
Hey, I think if we weren't fair, you would look at us like we were just total doofus homers. You know, every now and then you gotta be fair about it. And, what's fair? It's not, the lineup's not for me this year. It's not the reason why I'm not going, but it's not for me. I'll be back next year. And they will probably have a incredible lineup next year, or these things go in cycles. Just 2 years ago, we were talking about the greatest Bonnaroo lineup to ever exist. They still have their fastball. They'll be fine.
And you mentioned him a minute ago, but, you know, after we saw all the comments about our last show and people sort of taking you to task for being negative.
One time I sign on to Reddit, I see, you know, well, the nonsense.
Taco and I came up with a brilliant solution. We went and found one person more curmudgeon-y than you to be a guest, and he couldn't make it this week, so maybe we'll have him on next week, and that's our own Brian Stone. We were going to have him on.
Oh, yeah. wait till they get a load of Brian Stone.
To bring things down even further. That guy hates sunshine, babies, puppies, kittens.
Yeah, it is incredible. And by the way, I kind of take offense that you would just describe me as a curmudgeon like Brian Stone. There is not a thing that we have in common.
That was the point, but go ahead and tell people why he's not on with us this morning. What is so important in his world that he couldn't join us to talk about this year's schedule? And he will be with us in Camp Nutbutter, by the way.
Yeah, the man is a massive Atlanta Braves fan. even the Braves don't bring him joy. Like, he still hates the Braves, even when they're winning the World Series. Like, this stupid team,
Something's going to go wrong.
Yeah,
I know. They're going to take the ring away from him.
Uh-huh. Even to this day. So, he lives in Chattanooga, and he could at any moment take the hour and 15-minute drive down to whatever the ballpark in Atlanta is called now, and see the World Series trophy. You know, here in New York, I'm a Mets fan. You can go to Citi Field, to the Mets Hall of Fame, and walk in and see our two trophies. If you really want to see history, you can walk right there to the ballpark and see the trophies, just like you can in Atlanta. How many games does he go to a year? 5, 6, 7. He could walk in and see the World Series trophy any day. But no, he today could not join us because the World Series trophy from the Atlanta Braves World Series Championship last year has made its trek to Chattanooga. And he has got to drive down and see the World Series trophy. He left us for hardware, Barry. He left us for hardware.
he couldn't go when it was at the burpees, I guess, last week. Calhoun or whatever.
Oh, the Buckies, yeah.
The Buckies,
when
rather.
It's tough at Buckies, yeah, he missed it. But when it came to Chattanooga, damn it, I'm not missing that.
Not missing it. It's been on his calendar with a big crayon.
And he will still bitch about it. Damn thing's smaller in real life.
It's not as big as I thought, and they wouldn't let me touch it. And, I helped earn that thing, and I couldn't touch it.
he'll find some reason to hate it. But yeah, that's the reason why he couldn't join us today. But
speaking of best t-shirt, you think he's got his Braves World Champions t-shirt on?
This guy. fashion icon. Fashion icon, Brian Stone. I mean, he doesn't own a shirt that doesn't have pit stains on it. He's never met a shirt that's clean that he likes. I don't understand
they
it.
They all have a story, though, man. They all have a story, every one of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, sure. I know. Because the man, he has not seen anything past 1990 that he likes.
Yeah, I like his snaps he's been sending me. He's like, got new socks, and they're like up to his knees.
Stripes.
Stripes. Yeah.
This is what Kurt Cobain used to wear.
The man so fashion forward with socks but still wears bootcut jeans. I don't get it.
That's because Cobain or
hey, but you're gonna love him when he's on the show. You're gonna absolutely love him.
Can't wait.
Oh, a barrel of laughs.
But what's great about today is that we get to go through the picks from Taco and Barry and see what they will be seeing and hopefully give you maybe an outline of some things that you shouldn't miss as well on the What Podcast Today. Barry and Taco's picks next. It's pick time. This has historically been, and Taco, you can tell me if I'm right or wrong about this. This has historically been the most popular episode in normal What Podcast history is whenever we go through our picks for the festival. I don't know, but either way, this is the one that that people more than any.
Yeah, you know our most downloaded episode is?
What is
my
that?
Picks.
Your picks.
My picks.
I think there was, I know, but I think that the reason there was a large contingent of dashboard moms that were trying to find you.
That's I tapped into that demographic there, yeah.
I bet you did, my man.
It had pictures. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right, so how do you guys, I'm going to let you navigate your picks the way that you want to. I usually go day to day, but you guys can do however you want.
Yeah, we'll go day to day. Taco, you want to go first?
Sure.
Do back and forth each day?
Yeah, let's do back and forth. So I guess we'll start with Thursday.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
My whole festival starts at 4:30 on Thursday with Nothing.
Is that a band?
That's the band, yeah.
Ba-doom, ba-doom.
That's not a joke, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, writing down Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Write that down, Nothing. Barry?
Got it.
I'm probably going to go see Parrotfish just because I think the name is funny and I'm a little bit interested in Sawyer.
What is Parrotfish? Please explain.
They're both from Nashville. It kind of starts, both of these sort of start the day a little bit on the folksy, singer-songwriter-y side.
Nice way to start.
Yeah. And then it goes.
Very soft landing.
Goes from that into Weather Station. So I'll probably be bouncing back and forth while Taco is over it doing Nothing.
I'll be doing Nothing.
What kind of music is Nothing, by the way?
It's like one of the only, like, hard, I wouldn't say heavy metal, but it's like a hard rock band. It's like one of the only ones on the lineup, so I gotta go see them.
Okay, it's not the sound of, like, a bus engine running.
No, I would go see that, too, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
And on this lineup, I'm gonna be a headliner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And talk about what he'd do to fix it.
All right. After Nothing.
I'm going to go see Blue the Tiger. That's her actual name.
Yeah.
And she's a bass player and singer, songwriter. Pretty good.
Is it Blue the Tiger or Blue the Tigre?
Ooh, that I don't know.
Yeah.
It looks like tiger, but could be.
Uh-huh. Barry?
We'll find out.
I mean, probably going to go. I'm going to wait. I looked at Brook in the bluff. A little bit interesting. I'm probably going to go over to the other.
Yeah.
And Recno and Closey and then Griffin all sort of interest me. So I'm going to check out, and I don't know how long I'll stay at all of that, but I definitely plan to check out a whole lot more EDM. I think I said this on the last show than I probably would have, and that's a pretty good stretch. Actually, that whole evening is pretty good as far as I'm
concerned. The only thing I'll say is for Brook and the Bluff, it's a tad early on a Thursday for a nap.
Yeah, well, it's actually...
Because they are sleepy.
It's a little late. I mean, after, you know, Sawyer and Parrotfish. And so, yeah, I get with... And the weather station, too.
Okay, so what time are you now up to when you go to
that's
Griffin?
That's the problem because... And I know where you're going with this. This is Thursday, and our rule is don't go hard on Thursday, and there's a
You can go late on Thursday. Yeah. That's fine. Just don't go hard on it.
Well... I'm going to go ahead and jump to it. My find of the festival so far is at 11 o'clock on that tent. I think Sons of Kemet, if that's the right way to say it.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Might be one of my new favorites.
Absolutely.
I really like that. It's they're London-based. It's Afro beats and jazz. I like it a lot, and I really want to see them live, and that's one I'm going to be putting into rotation here at the house.
I understand, but and you're missing the lead of this band, that you got to see them now because they're breaking up after this run. This is their final stretch of shows that they'll ever do together.
That's right. Nice.
And I think half of them were in The Comet Is Coming, which played, I think, 2019. So that's kind of what they do. They'll just, like, form a little band for a little while, and then, yeah, you got to see them when they end. And one of them is performing with The Smile, which is Tom York from Radiohead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. I love that band.
That's
a really nice project. The Smile is everything I've heard so far from that little project is really, really nice.
Yeah.
You guys know more than me. I just sort of came across them this morning, and I put a big circle around it.
To be honest, I mean, it wasn't until, I mean, look, this news coming down makes it a whole lot more interesting, and they're probably the show to see on Thursday. And if it was me giving these picks, and I'm not going to issue any picks since I'm not making it this year, but that would be the biggest circle, underline that I would be having on Thursday, because to me, it's a absolutely can't miss.
That's it. That was the one for me. And after that, it's probably, you know, I'd like to see Andy Frasco. I feel like he and Briston Mahoney, which we'll get to in a bit, are sort of owed some due, you know, for what he did last year. And so I'd like to go and support. And maybe
is Briston on Thursday?
No. I said we'll get to him. He's Friday. But he's another one just because he's been on the show and I really, really like him. That I want to make sure to support the set, you know, to be there.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. And he played the other fest last year when got canceled. Yeah. Yeah. It was fantastic.
That's what I mean. He's owed a debt for that. You know.
So is that rounding out your entire Thursday or do you have more on Thursday to go?
That's it. I mean, I'm looking at Side Piece on the schedule. That's just one of those names, you know.
I do like getting into bands where you're just going for the name. It's sort of liking.
Why would you do that to yourself?
Liking teams for uniforms.
But okay.
Anything else for Taco late night on Thursday?
No, that's pretty much it. Thursday.
Okay. All right.
If I make it to Andy Frasco, that's going to be, you know, like 1:15. So.
Is it that late? Really?
Yeah.
1:15
to 2:15. Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
So you wake up Friday. Is this the day that they're like the beer exchanges and the stuff in GA? Am I right about that?
Go ahead, Taco. We'll stay in order.
Yeah. Friday, 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock is the beer exchange at Pod 5. And, we're going to be there. I think we're going to record a show. Is that right, Barry?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Keep the tradition alive.
Yeah, we've been invited to join those guys and plan to.
Now, is Friday going to be the day where you guys get to drive around on jam tracks? Have we settled that? Are they going to let us do that, is drive around and taxi people in jam tracks?
I mean, hope so.
We haven't announced that. Did I just break news?
Yeah, that's a hope. Go ahead, Russ.
You guys are not big beer nerds, so what are you bringing to the beer exchange?
Wait, huh?
What?
I hate to break the news.
You don't
but
think
one
I'm a
of
beer
you,
nerd?
I don't take as craft beer nerds, so what are you bringing to exchange?
Oh, I got something good to bring.
I know. It's an award winner. I got it. Yeah, I got it.
This is an award-winning lager.
I know.
Never not great, right?
The point for it's so hysterical for Taco. He will legitimately bring PBR and trade with someone for a PBR.
Yeah.
You will literally just swap PBRs with whoever else there.
And feel real good about it.
Gotta try a West Coast PBR, man. That's where it's at.
I'm dying for it. Iowa City PBR. Yeah. Yes.
He's looking at the mate-on date. He's studying the mate-on date hard.
Barry, what are you bringing to the craft?
I don't know what
beer
exactly. Maybe a Hutton & Smith because it's local. It's one of my favorites. I haven't thought about what I'm bringing yet. I know I'm going.
Mm-hmm. Well, a couple of years ago, the wonderful people at, what is the name of that brewery, Taco?
Oh, Odd Story.
The wonderful people at Odd Story had given us all of these beers to take to the craft beer exchange, and that was very, very nice of them.
Yes.
Yeah, they gave us some very highly specialized, unreleased stuff that we shared, and I don't know, you should reach back out to them and get some of their stuff.
We'll talk to them, yeah. That sounds great.
I'm sure there's somebody local who'd love to be part of it. Maybe several.
Absolutely.
That's a great idea. So, yeah, we're going to do that. You know, when we talked about this lineup before, I talked about Friday being pretty heavy. Mm-hmm. But the more I studied it today, man, it's a good one. I wish some of these were more spread out than they are.
Thursday, to me, yeah, I actually agree. I think Friday is my favorite day of the festival.
Yeah, it's pretty much, if not all day, most of the day for sure.
By the way, what's the have you guys looked at the long range forecast? What does the weather so far look like? Does it even matter yet?
I think good, right?
It looks good. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I mean, you could almost just go to that tent all day long and stay and be relatively happy.
So you're gonna do beer exchange until 1, mm-hmm. which will actually be 2:30. You'll get back to camp and then do what? At 3 o'clock, what's Barry doing?
Well, 2:15, Maggie Rose. 3 o'clock is Briston. And
you're not getting there by 2:15. I promise you. It's not happening.
Well, I know.
So 3 should be your target and see Briston Maroney.
And
I agree. I think that this kid has got something. There's something about him he's a really good songwriter. He's clever. He's got a great voice. He's local. He just needs that moment, and I feel like he's on the cusp of it, right? Yeah. I feel like this kid's on the cusp of breaking out.
I agree.
Yeah, I meant to write him down. Yeah, Briston Maroney. He was on the show, by the way. Go listen to it.
Go back and listen.
That's a great interview. Yeah.
Good kid.
I discovered him. That's how I discovered him. I didn't
know. Okay. Got it. All right.
I know that sounded wrong. Whiskey Myers, I saw last month here in town. They're right after him. You know, but that's sort of leads into Isaiah Rashad, which Taco mentioned, and the Regrets. Definitely going to go see Isaiah just because he's from. I know. See, that's what I'm saying. Once you start looking at it.
Yeah.
Robert Plant. I'm getting ahead of myself, but
What time is Plant?
6:45.
Oh. Yeah. Interesting.
Across from Japanese Breakfast at 6:30. Mm. Right?
Mm. So. I will look.
I know.
I love Japanese Breakfast so much, but boy, that last Bonnaroo show put such a bad taste in my mouth.
I know.
I've told their manager that, and I promised that I'd give it another shot because I love her so much and I love that band so much. So, if it was me, I would put all of those bad feelings aside and come back and give it one more shot because it just it's got to be better than that. There's no way it could be that again.
I don't. It is. Yeah, they were at Shake and Ease.
Yeah, right. How was it?
Yeah, it was good. The problem was they were up against King Gizzard, mm-hmm. and so you've got two completely different sounds. Mm-hmm. And you know, I was trying to go back and forth, and I was like, "No, I just got to stay with King Gizzard." Like it was late night.
Did it get like overpowered? I mean, wasn't overpowered. Was it a sound battle?
No, it was just two different flavors. You know.
Okay.
It was more of a scheduling
conflict thing, not a sound battle thing.
I think Japanese breakfast should have been more early afternoon.
See, and
what time are they on Friday, by the way, Barry?
6:30. My thing
that's a nice
is,
spot.
You know, Robert that's Plant. Good, yeah. I put him up there, and you know, he's a former Led Zeppelin. He's, you know, you see a Beatle when you can see a Beatle. You see a Zeppelin guy when you can see. And Alison Krauss obviously has the voice of.
I have taken Robert Plant totally for granted. Every time he's on a schedule, every time he comes to town, I'm just like,
no man,
I'll see it sometime.
Speaking of Led Zeppelin, there was an article that they have kicked off this tour, and they've been covering some Led Zeppelin songs.
Yeah, that I can't remember what they do, but yeah. That she brought to the table. So,
mm-hmm. Alison Krauss, right?
Yeah. I mean, she's one of the great voices in all of the world. Mm-hmm. So that, and you know, 6:45 there on the wet stage. Crowd's going to be, as we've said before, not huge. So you'll be able to get up close no matter what. Mm-hmm. So that's a tough call right there.
And Japanese breakfast is at that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the same stage that she was at a couple of years ago, but it was much earlier in the day. They were the second show off on that, and I can't remember if it was a Friday or Saturday. But, you know, they just had a lot of sound issues, and it took them a good 20, 30 minutes. Half of their set was fixing the sound. Yeah,
you're being kind. Yeah. Came out and did a sound check for 30 minutes is what they did. It was completely horrible.
But with all that being said, she's having a real moment. I mean, she's got a book on the number one New York Times bestseller list. She's done Saturday Night Live. The album has blown up. She's having a real, real moment right now, and they think that she is a legit star. And she, I mean, I think that she is. And, you know, it's just a matter of time before this band becomes, becomes really, really, they think it's going to be the next Florence and the Machine. We'll see. But I like him so much. I really don't think that there was a better song a few years ago than Roadhead. And even this last album is great. I just still can't stop listening to Roadhead. So I would go just for that. But if they're up against Robert Plant and Alison Krauss, that's a tough scheduling conflict. All right, so after Japanese Breakfast, Robert Plant, you guys got anything? What's Friday night look like?
Well, we're still in the middle of the evening. War on Drugs and Arlo Parks.
That's right.
Oh, God, I love an Arlo Parks. God. All right, so look, if there's anything that you listen to, if you listen to nothing I say, so be it. Go see Arlo Parks. I am obsessed with her. Absolutely obsessed. She's got this great, sultry voice. Everything is just so sexy. I am a major, major fan, and I can't talk higher about her. Yeah. I'm in love with her.
So, pop over there to this tent, and then that leads into the Chicks, which gotta see, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I have no problem with the Chicks show, none whatsoever. I know it was a firebrand when this lineup was being rumored about, and you know I think that got squashed when they found out that it wasn't going to be the headliner top line. So, I mean, I don't think that there is necessarily a problem anymore. I think that the fact that they are where they are in the lineup, it makes people a little bit feel a little bit better about it. But I think that that's a can't miss show.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's one of those shows that's so going to be specifically great for Bonnaroo. They live in Nashville. There's a good chance that they bring out some friends. That could be the show of the weekend.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. I plan to be there. Maybe go back to camp and regroup. I don't know.
I hear you. I have zero interest in seeing Lord Huron. Yeah, I feel like there's one of those bands that...
You know, there's so many late night shows to get ready for, I guess, right? I mean, is that what you're seeing, Taco?
Yes. Late Nights Friday is pretty stacked as well.
Yeah, with King Gizzard, Goose, Millennium, Disclosure, you know.
I mean, I would almost ask you why you're not going to pop in and see Still Woozy right after the Chicks. No? Okay. No, I like Still Woozy. He was on my radar before he got signed to Republic Records. And was it Republic or Interscope that he signed to? Either way, the night that he got signed, I was at dinner with the A&R guy at Lollapalooza, and they could not have been more excited about getting Still Woozy. And, you know, then the pandemic happens, and his career gets this kind of like pause. I got a lot of faith in Still Woozy. I love everything that I've heard of him. Give him a shot.
Yeah,
just give him a shot there the last 15-20 minutes of his set.
It's not a I don't know enough to say. So, okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
And then I would probably take a break.
At some point, I got to take a break.
You got to take a break because you can't miss King Gizzard.
No, and that's a long day already. I mean, we started at 11 drinking, you know, at the beer fest and then beer exchange.
It's a long day. I almost think that the conflict of King Gizzard and Disclosure may be the biggest one for me. That's got to suck. I mean, because King Gizzard is that's the one of the day. That would be what I put my entire day around, is getting to that show and staying the entire way and then trying to make it to 3 a.m. for Goose.
Yeah. Is that the one, Taco, was it King Gizzard that they added time?
Yes, they extended it by like 15 minutes. Yeah. Which,
oh, really?
Yeah, it was just an hour, and now it's like hour and 15.
Oh, but still not
seems
long
like
enough.
Still not long enough. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's by the way, that's a long, pretty solid day.
Goose till 3 a.m. Again, this is exactly why I say don't go hard on Thursday. Don't go hard on Thursday. You got to make it to 3 a.m. because that Goose set is going to be fan-fucking-tastic.
Yeah, it's going to be terrific.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
So somewhere in there, you've got to get a nappy.
Got to get a cray nappy. Got to get a cray nappy.
You got to get cleaned up. If you can get a shower, you just got to eat something, get some energy, some Pedialyte, some water. You got to regroup.
And then you're waking up Saturday doing some urban cowboy line dancing?
Well, yeah, because this is just Friday. There's still two more days to go if you're going to do it that way. So
yeah, we're only halfway through.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if you count Sunday as a full day.
If you count that, and if you don't count Tuesday and Wednesday, depending on when you get there. So
good point. Mm-hmm. Great point. Yeah. All right, Saturday. You wake up Saturday, you're feeling a little groggy. Legs are starting to get tired. Back is starting to hurt. This is where you get on the yoga wheel. This is when you start stretching out the back. You do, you know, some sun salutations maybe. Do a little bit of yoga. Get that back in line. Have a big, big Bloody Mary when you wake up. Maybe two, maybe three. And then what are you doing around about midday when you walk in and get a spicy pie? What are you doing after that?
Go ahead, Taco.
I really don't have anything until 6 Saturday.
Yeah, I was going to say, Brad, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk in there, and I'm going to turn right around and walk back to camp.
Really?
Like I almost always do, because I'm going to be beat.
This is where I would almost go hard first part of the day and then just pack it in the rest of the day, because I love that kid, Patrick Droney. We talked about him a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
That's the one I was looking at.
Backseat Lovers, I think, is a great, great rock band. And then Femi Kuti. Why would you not see Femi? After that, I would pretty much, I'd lock the day down and spend the rest of the day at camp or hanging out, you know, with friends, because I've seen Churches so many times. Judah and the Lion, how many more times do I need to see them? I have no interest in.
You skipped right over maybe the one don't miss for me all day.
Which is what?
The Super Jam.
Super Jam.
Oh, yeah, and then the Super Jam. Oh, that's right, because the Super Jam's early.
6:30.
It's really, really. Why is the Super Jam so damn early?
Yeah, we don't know. And yeah, am I not correct that all time lows keep showing up on all kinds of suggestions from like?
It shouldn't be.
Is it not? Okay.
Ugh.
I just thought that was one of those that I keep hearing from people.
Yeah. I mean,
Superjam is.
I have a problem with that band because I'm so tired of hearing Monsters. They're a fine band. they had a big Me Too problem that seems to have. I don't know. Maybe it's bullshit. Maybe it's not. Nobody really knows. Okay. But they are fighting it really, really hard, and they've hired their own legal team, etc. But the thing is, if you're a radio guy, in this form, at least the format that I am, we have heard Monsters maybe 8,000 times.
Yeah, well, I'm not.
This song has driven us nuts because it will not go away.
Okay.
So, I would never go to that show just because I cannot listen to that song one more time in my life without losing my mind.
Superjam is the one sort of like, you know, we will have, you know, Russ and I are trying to set up work interviews sort of thing. So mm-hmm. hopefully we can get some of that set for Saturday during the day and get caught up.
But
really starts with Superjam.
We
haven't even talked about going out into the plazas yet, you know, other than for the beer exchange.
Well, see, this is what I was going to say. You know, you always put Superjam on the list of things that you want to do, but it never ends up being something you stay at. So I can imagine spending 30 minutes at the Superjam, going back to camp, and just sort of packing it in until Mark Ribollet.
Sure. Yeah. I do want to stop at the Who stage before Superjam and see Charlotte Sands.
Okay.
Really?
Tell me
mm-hmm.
why.
Interesting. Why?
She's got blue hair.
Oh, my God. You're bringing Charlotte Sands back to the bus. I hope that she's old enough for your advances. How old is this poor girl? Can I please check before?
Oh, man.
How old is Charlotte Sands? Because I'm very worried about this.
I can't argue with this logic.
I don't see a bio. Charlotte Sands' birthday. Okay, she's 25. Okay, thank God. She's 25. Okay. So, yeah. Charlotte Sands, let me introduce you to my friend Russ, who is a...
He has a bus.
He has a bus and an affinity for blue hair.
And an affinity for blue hair performer. That's awesome.
It is really bizarre how you and Brian Stone go after the same women.
Yeah, I might be fighting Brian Stone over this.
Wow. All right. Hey, going to Charlotte Sands.
There you go. Yep.
And I do want to see Churches because I saw them at Shaky Knees, and I want to
see
that
show
again.
It is a great show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. See, I haven't seen them like you. So I can go from Superjam to that. Judah and the Lion, I've not seen. Billy Strings,
people love Billy Strings. It's not something that I've really figured out just yet. Yeah, you like it?
Very, very talented. And it blends a lot of things. So I'm going to guess it's going to be a great show. So, you know, depending on what else happens that day and the day before.
I guess, you know, Barry, I don't know if you're going, but I will definitely be at that Tool show.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be there. And like you said, the Ribollet gotta save up for that, and you got Flume leading mm-hmm. into it.
So let me stop you for a second. So you are all in on going to the Tool show, Taco. You're in.
Yes.
Barry, you're in. You're into the whole hour and a half, the whole 2 hours.
Didn't say that. Okay. I'm going. That's like I said. Depending on how that day and the day before goes. Yes.
Can I ask you, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, because maybe I'm recency bias here, but have you ever seen a Saturday headliner have somebody play at the same time? Usually the Saturday headliner gets the entire run of the festival and the freedom of only being the only artist playing at that time. Tool has 30 minutes of being the sole band playing at Bonnaroo.
I would put it the other way, in my memory of the history, there were always multiples, except for the rare occasions where they shut it down, like for McCartney. And I mean, that's my memory. I'd have to go back and look.
I mean, I feel like there's always been something happening, but it's always towards the end of the set, not 30 minutes into the set.
Yeah. I mean,
Am I wrong about that?
Well, it's like I said, I McCartney, they did it, and a couple others.
I mean, the Kanye fight was started because he wanted nobody else playing.
Well, but what I remember is being surprised that they did it that way, because it didn't give you any other choices. You kind of had to go see whoever it was. So, I mean, we're remembering it two different ways, I guess, is what I'm saying. So yeah, I'm gonna have to go back
and look at schedules from the past, because something tells me, like, there's something in me that says it's just not often where Saturday's headliner.
Well, but look at what they're doing. Conflict too, though. It's all on the other stage. I think they've committed to those fans. They're just gonna go all day long.
That's a great point. That is a really solid point.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm looking at and seeing.
Yeah,
I
think that's
a
very solid
point.
A
lot of those people, no matter who it is, you know, unless it's a Dolly or a McCartney or somebody like that. So, but
let me look. Go back to Friday, and is the Friday headliner on what? Totally. J. Cole, no. J. Cole's got conflicts too. Interesting. Yeah. You know. You're exactly right. Disclosure is there on the other. I mean, there's not a spot where the other is not completely represented. So, yeah, I mean, that's a good call.
Just committed to that stage and that audience, especially losing the Calliope stage.
Oh, God,
we've been
over this. We've been over this so many times. It is Callio. It is literally the guy who started the festival told you what the word was, and you will not believe him.
Yeah. Well, Calliope is not part of Bonnaroo. That's Walter Productions, isn't it?
It is Calliope, the guy who started the festival told you the word is Calliope.
He didn't start Calliope.
Oh, God.
Anyway, they don't
have
it.
Move the hill. It's Calliope.
They don't have it anymore.
Got it.
So there you go.
All right.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of, like, okay, well, you like Ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska. And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran Ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8. On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of Ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
And so later on in the night, you're doing Flume, you're doing Mark, you're doing Pigeons Playing Ping Pong. How late's your night going on Saturday?
It's a game day decision. I mean, I'd like to be there. For all those, if they go right, yeah. I don't have a
sure.
Yeah, Dad's gonna need a golf cart by then. I'm gonna totally be honest with you, Taco. You might be wheeling him around. You know, Saturday,
yeah, that's okay.
Saturday night. That was about when Barry's back started giving him a lot of trouble a couple years ago.
The hip.
Yeah, and it's like I could see the pain, but you must. This is what I love about Barry Corder. He muscled through every single bit of it, and he's so unlike me. Didn't bitch once. Didn't complain once.
I've never been so happy to be embarrassed and shamed as the old man in the middle of that field at 2 a.m. when one of our friends got me a chair.
I mean,
oh, that's right. Tara grabbed you a chair.
Tara went and stole a chair out of a vendor's booth. And it was
I would have been fighting and saying, why haven't you gotten me a chair yet? No, Barry complained nothing. Barry didn't have the first bitch or complaint or...
I knew the group I was in. I knew who I was with.
You're we'll saying back, that we would have.
Yeah, we'll be back to pick you up, old man.
To pick you up. See you in 2023.
Yeah. See you on the way back.
Anything else going on Saturday night that you want to no. get to?
No.
Okay. All right. And then honestly, I kind of think, and I know this is going to sound ironic coming out of my mouth, but I feel like this is how Sunday should be at Bonnaroo. Light and easy and not asking me to do a lot.
Yeah.
I'll see what mm-hmm. I see. If I don't, whatever. Maybe I leave early. Maybe I stay the whole night. I'll see how my day goes.
Exactly. Yeah, it's going to be, again, a game day wake up and see what... I mean, I'd like to see Herbie Hancock a lot. I'd like to see Stevie Nicks. But to get to that point...
Oh, it's a long... That's a lot. And if the heat is hitting...
Right. And if it's gone, the week is gone. I mean, I want to see all them witches. I'll see them if
I'm
there.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they put them on so early that they feel like more of a evening set.
Yeah.
They're 3:15 on Sunday.
Nathaniel Ratliff, I definitely... That would...
You have to see that show. Have to see that show. Really, I'll tell you, one of my favorite shows I've ever been to, Music Midtown, it started raining. Nathaniel Ratliff was singing in the rain. I just was one of the more magical shows I've ever been to. God, he is just so good. He's infectious. Yeah. I saw him at Tipitina's in New Orleans in a small spot. There's not a show I will ever miss if Nathaniel Ratliff is near me.
And I think he's a perfect, we talk about it on this show a lot, perfect Bonnaroo in the field kind of
That's
show.
Right. That's right. Mm-hmm. That sound feels exactly like Bonnaroo is supposed to feel.
Yep.
And so, we haven't talked about this, and we do it every year. My favorite time of my entire year is when we get to the top of the mountain driving from Chattanooga. We get to the top of the mountain, and we start to come down, and we see over into the valley, and the sun is pouring through the trees, and you get down to the base, and it's just open farmland. And that's when that feeling just hits me and rushes over me, and it's legitimately the biggest, it's the best drug that I can take ever. Yeah. Keep your PCP, keep your Molly. That's the best drug that I can take. It's literally, it courses through my veins and it lasts me entirely until I get checked in at the Holiday Inn. And then when we get onto the farm, I get that rush again. Whenever the right band at the right moment, when the sun's going down, and the sound of the farm cuts right through the noise, and you just nailed it, Barry. And I haven't found that on the schedule until Nathaniel Ratliff.
Yeah. Yeah. In that moment, yeah, we've talked about that many times. That's when you can start picking up Bonnaroo radio.
They're not doing that anymore.
They're not doing the Holiday Inn either. So I'm not even sure we'll take that route. But for 16 years, that literally topping that mountain and heading down is like that's a different world. You leave.
Yep,
you leave
that's right.
Work and everything else behind, and you're on Bonnaroo.
Alice in Wonderland. You're in Alice in Wonderland
it's
world,
awesome.
Man.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome. So
yeah, I'm trying to think of I'm looking at these Japanese breakfast might have that sound, but it's on a tent, and that's not necessarily what I'm looking for. Tove Lo's not it. Isaiah Rashad's not it. It was on Saturday. Saturday, nope. All Time Low is definitely not it. You just don't. You don't have it. Maybe churches. Churches might be the first spot where I start getting that feeling. But man, it is all the way until Sunday where that.
Yeah, there's not the My Morning Jacket or the Warren Haynes's or the.
That's right.
Even the Avett Brothers or yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That.
And it may not be a sound that you like, right? It may not even be a sound that you would gravitate towards, but it is legitimately the sound of that farm. That is the thing that the pulse of that farm is through that kind of sound, and it's what it was built on. What about Taco? Where are you going on Sunday?
Sunday, I'm going to see Pucifer. I'm going to go do another Maynard band.
Is that the first time? I'm sorry, not first. The first show for you on Sunday?
Before All Them Witches, but that's earlier.
Right. That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Pucifer's at 6:30 on the Witch stage, and then I do want to see Herbie Hancock.
Yeah, I think that you have to.
Yeah,
for sure.
I mean, I think that that's, if you're going to be there, why would you not?
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. You got to see these guys, man. These.
That's
are...
right. I'm telling you, one of the things I'm so happy is I saw Solomon Burke at Bonnaroo before he died. He literally died the next year. Charles Bradley, I mean, when Charles Bradley comes out of the off of the stage in the first real tour of his career, and he's on the main stage of Bonnaroo, and he's crying. He's so happy. He's been waiting 40 years for this moment. He comes out to the crowd and he starts hugging literally everyone that's there. And then he dies 5 years later. You don't know mm-hmm. when you're going to be able to see these guys again.
Yeah, John Prine.
John Prine. It's a great example.
My screensaver is that I took of John Prine. The smile on his face is unbelievable.
Lose these opportunities.
I didn't see the Tom Petty and he died. You know, I mean,
I'm bummed about that too.
I know. Elvis Costello there with. Who's the guy from New Orleans, Brad?
Wait, is Elvis Costello dead?
But the other guy, the guy that he performed with is, and it'll come to me as soon as we stop talking. But, I mean, how many times am I going to get to see Elvis Costello in whatever form?
I'd kill to see Elvis Costello back on the farm. I've missed the other time that he came, I was like, oh, Elvis Costello. I was such a loser kid. I was like, oh, Elvis Costello, lame. Why did I do that? What was I thinking?
I have no idea.
So that I could go see Lifehouse? I don't know what band it was, but you know, why would I choose anything other than Elvis Costello at Bonnaroo? I was an idiot. Yeah, I was a total idiot.
We all have them.
I blew it.
I mean, I didn't see Lionel Richie because I got an attitude, and it's still on everybody's list of mm-hmm. top shows ever. So,
mm-hmm. with that same thought, you got to see Stevie. I mean, yeah, just sure. If you're gonna be
of
there.
Course.
Again, you could have left early by now, and nobody would probably argue with you about that. But if you're going to be there, you might as well be there and see Stevie. Now, I will be totally honest with you. I'm really worried about that show and the optics. This thing's going to be live streamed. And if the crowd estimate's the way that we think it's going to be, I don't like the way that looks.
Yeah, I don't disagree. But, you know, if I'm there, I'm going to see her for sure.
You should. Yeah. Absolutely should.
I've never seen her.
Yeah.
All right. And there you go. Anything else? Taco, we missed anything on Sunday? You're really only doing two shows, really, Sunday? Well, and probably Stevie Nicks and Herbie Hancock.
Yeah, four.
Well, he'd be busy with Blue Hair.
Well, yeah, he's already got Charlotte Sands coming back to Camp Nut Butter. And
his
Sunday's
his
weekend
out.
Is locked up. Yeah.
You got to spend
Stevie.
Some time during the early Saturday cleaning the bus and, you know, all that.
Uh-huh. Getting ready. Yeah. He's got company
getting
coming
ready.
Over.
Yeah.
Company's coming. Yeah, he'll be ridiculous. Barry, you got something to do. You got to go.
You went from dashboard moms to dashboard children.
Oh, man.
All right. That's, you know what? When you lay it out like that, it is it's a full slate, you know, and
yeah,
you, when you look at it the way that I look at it, it of course it comes across as negative and empty, but when you lay it out like I'm going and here's what my schedule is going to be, you do have a pretty packed, you know, day and a half there, 2 days.
Yep. I'm sorry. I just was trying to find the name. Alan Toussaint is the artist.
Alan Toussaint. Yeah.
Yeah. I was there with Elvis Costello. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, no, it Friday is good. Friday is terrific. Friday is going to be, you know, mind and body numbing, but there's plenty else to do. I think Thursday's better than I thought. Sunday.
Well, yeah, I mean, it changes a little bit with.
We'll see.
But, by the way, I will say, now that we've gone through this, I'm kind of irritated. Well, first off, I cannot believe you're not going to the Urban Line dancing at any point. Why in the world would you not spend half an hour with Urban Cowboy line dancing? I would be all into that. But what really bothers me is that I don't think that there's a single New Orleans connection at all in any of these days. And I know that sounds a little homerish because I love New Orleans so much, but this festival was sort of built by the combination of New Orleans and Nashville, and the fact that there's literally nothing that is New Orleans-ish on this lineup is kind of depressing, to be honest with you.
Yeah, there's not even a Sneakin' Jakes anymore, is there?
Oh, God, really? Barry? Is that true?
I don't know.
Well, last year they painted it white, and it was going to be the House of Matrimony.
Oh, the House of Matrimony. That's right. Oh, no. Yeah.
Well, along those lines, I haven't even mentioned in the plazas. I mean, at some point, we're going to have to... We're going to go out there and just see what's going on. So, you know, if somebody's listening and we haven't mentioned any of those things... Sorry, it's partly because it's not on the schedule that we were looking at, but partly because, you know, that's sort of a game day kind of thing. We'll have to figure out how to get out there and get out there, and it's happening. Then you stick around.
It's a great point because you know there will be a secret show out there somehow,
right?
With somebody,
exactly.
Somebody's going to pop out there, just like Cage did a few years ago, and just like you know, there was going to be that possibility of the Foo Fighters. There's going to be somebody out there,
sure.
And I, you know what, if you give me a second, I will look through this schedule and give you an idea as to who I think it might be. Santa Ratliff's a very good possibility, you know, that's just a big band to start taking out there.
But, I mean, are the Ruham guys have an event on Friday evening?
They do. They're having Emo Night.
Emo Night.
Which, you know, could be some good Dashboard Bombs there.
there is a
quote-unquote secret show at the Beer Exchange. I don't know if you guys know about that.
Yeah.
There's a band playing.
I wouldn't put it past Jack Antonoff and going out to a plaza late Friday night and doing something.
So we don't even know. I mean, it's very possible we wander out there and just stay out there, you know. If somebody's got a cachet of PBR, I can see, and blue hair, I may never see Taco. I'll follow you anywhere.
Yeah.
I may not
Taco's
see him
gonna
all week.
Sleep on a, Taco's going to sleep on a bed of PBR.
or, you know, maybe in a dark room tent somewhere.
Oh, man, I can see Jude and the Lion doing something late Saturday night in a plaza. I could see Loop Daddy finding something to do on Friday night. I mean, yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. There's very good possibilities of something popping up throughout the festival out there. I was looking for, have they not put out the map yet, Taco?
Mm-hmm. No.
I saw a map. Is it not the same?
There is a map they put out in like January. But
yeah, but that was the map that from years ago.
Yeah. There's not a current map yet.
I saw one last week.
Yeah, I know that, Barry, but that was the map that came out 2 years ago for the canceled Bonnaroo. What I'm wondering is if they put out a map, and if Taco's right, there's no...
So it's coming soon if you go to the map in the app. No map yet. And I'm pretty sure Snake and Jake's is done.
That would be really sad, because not only is Snake... If that's the case, not only is Snake and Jake's done, but also our guy from Crawfish King... Shaggy, who always does the crawfish boil, is now Bonnaroo said we don't really want you to come. I don't know. Well, maybe they didn't say that, but he was not invited back to Bonnaroo. So, I mean, that is damn near every New Orleans connection that was originally the way that this whole thing was founded. Gone. That's a little sad for me. Maybe it comes back. Let's pray that it comes back. Somebody listen. You need your New Orleans connection. You need your New Orleans thing. You need Prez Hall. You need a second line. You got to have something that connects you from your history to now.
Yeah.
And it cannot just be Nashville singer-songwriters.
Don't forget your roots.
Don't forget your roots. That's exactly right.
If you want Brad to come back.
That's their worry.
New Orleans.
I mean, there's parade. Yeah, I'm looking. Yeah, you're right. There's nothing on here anywhere about Snake and Jake's Christmas Barn, and that is just heartbreaking. That's heartbreaking, because
now that you've been to the actual Snake and Jake's,
it means so much more to you now.
Yeah, I've been to both, and I would love to go back to Snake and Jake's.
By the way, Barry, you remember the great thing about Snake and Jake's in New Orleans? That's where we found out where Taco was not truly a PBR fan.
Yeah.
The man likes Michelob.
Exposed.
Was it Michelob? What was it, Taco?
It was
Miller High Life.
Miller High Life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, when you come to the Bonnaroo Beer Exchange, please bring him a Miller High Life in exchange for a PBR.
Absolutely.
He won't know the difference.
You won't know the difference.
Just come strong with that blue hair, and he won't even see it.
You got blue hair, you got blue ribbons, I'm in.
Blue hair, high life. You will be married by the weekend. You will be married by Sunday.
Oh, Lord.
That's funny.
You'll have PBR cans hanging off the back of the bus as you drive away, just married. All right, and then the other thing too, are we absolutely sure that you're going to be driving the jam tracks and bringing people around?
I know we're going to get on there and hopefully talk to people. We got to check out the driving.
Please ride the jam tracks and interview people.
You know, we're going to do our best. You know how.
And you're going to video, right, Taco? You're going to have the whole camera thing?
For sure, yeah. I'll bring cameras.
All right. Good. All right. Well, I'm super jealous. I'm going to be even more jealous next week. I know I was Debbie Downer last week, but, you know, when it actually happens, I'm going to be really super bummed.
Yep.
I'm going to be super bummed. So next week, we'll have like a Bonnaroo free-for-all. And hopefully maybe we'll get some calls and do it live and have some people from Camp Nut Butter. The always enthralling Brian Stone may join us.
Oh, man.
God, it's going to be just a ray of sunshine like you've never believed.
Can't wait.
Like a big, very warm exciting. Hug.
Big, sweaty, pity hug, yes.
Get out of here with that. Get out.
Don't touch me. You don't touch me, bro.
All right. Good picks. Good picks. We'll list them here at the end. Taco will put them up, and then we'll talk to you next week as the festival gets closer. By now, actually, you're probably listening to us driving to the festival, so enjoy.
I hope you are,
You're just hours away. You're just hours away from the greatest weekend of the year. It's never not great. A podcast. You're always trying.